Welcome to the Weekly Workplace Podcast, your hub for leveling up your workplace skills with a journey to success that's anything but boring. Get ready to ditch the dull and dive into the dynamic. Imagine high fives and fist bumps for triumphing over frontline challenges and confetti cannons for nailing your leadership goals. Our episodes feature interviews with industry game changers, spicy tips from trailblazing pros, and mind-blowing techniques to turn you into the office superhero you were meant to be. So, whether you're rocking the cubicle life or leading from the corner office, grab your cape and get ready to soar to new heights with the Weekly Workplace.
Welcome to the Weekly Workplace, where professionals come to find insights and inspiration for success. With you today, well, it's me and a very special guest that I'm going to introduce to you here in just a moment. But I want to first thank all of you listeners out there who have stuck with us. I know that we haven't had an episode here in a few weeks. So just to own that, I have been managing some family matters. So I appreciate your patience and your understanding as we work through that. But we're back. And it feels like a long time coming for me to introduce the incredible, the amazing, my wonderful colleague and friend, Shitomi Lester Edward. How are you, Miss Shitomi?
I am fantastic, Brianna. I am so excited to be here with you, to be a part of the cast.
Yes.
Thank you for having me.
I love everything about you. Let me just say, I wish that I could like pluck you up and move you to Columbia so we were closer and hanging out more often every day. Yes. But Shitomi, you are a Kansas City native. Is that right?
I am. Okay. Born and raised Kansas City.
Okay. Well, tell me and tell our listeners just a little bit about yourself.
Yeah. So just like you said, born and raised in Kansas City, and this is what I would definitely call home. Okay. This is where immediate family is and everything. And when we talk about being a native of Kansas City, I also enjoy engaging in other cultures and traveling. So I have bopped around both nationally and internationally and love every bit of it. You know, I've been here, with Extension for 12 years now. Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny when I say that, I feel like it's like, whoa, 12 years. But then when I talk to some of my Extension colleagues, they're like, yeah, whatever, you're a baby. Don't feel like one. But right. I have been in a few positions while I've been with Extension and started off as a specialist. So was really able to get the lay of the land of how Extension works, the inner workings of it through doing that direct grassroots service. And now I'm a regional director for the Urban West region, I guess, Clay, Jackson, and Platte County. And prior to that, I was in corporate America. My experience has been an interesting journey from being in a private sector and then coming here in public sector, understanding the workings of budget and community and what it means in the private sector to really run a business. I also had my own business at one point in my life. I also had a nonprofit at one point in my life. And now I've landed here, and it's been a great journey.
Oh, Shitomi, I have so many questions. How did I not know this? Okay. So I'll just ask first, if you don't mind me.
I didn't take off the veil, Bria.
No. This business, what was your business in?
So, okay. You asked, I'm going to tell.
Okay.
So I started off in janitorial. So in my head, I've always been an entrepreneur by heart. So in my head, I said, I want to start a business. And this has to be the easiest business that you could possibly start, right? Well, then I quickly figured out there's no such thing as an easy business. Mm. However, I learned a lot. I through initially having a janitorial business, I learned how to manage people. Mm-hmm. That's where I got the foundation of my management skills. And then I also learned about marketing. I learned about customer service. I mean, you name it, you're doing it for your own business.
Right.
So I told you that was my start. And then I transitioned to being a mortgage broker. And so I knew when I initially had my janitorial business that I did not necessarily want to be and the direct line of having so many direct reports. Mm-hmm. I was learning, I was young, and I said, okay, so now what? And so mortgage business. Well, I had my mortgage business, it was doing great. And then we hit that financial kerfuffle, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's when I transitioned back into corporate environment, the corporate sector.
Okay.
And so my foundation has always been entrepreneur, but also financial. Love finances, numbers, different things like that. And so I started off at Sprint at the time before it transitioned to T-Mobile.
Okay.
Then I had my own business for quite a stint. And then my mortgage business, what I learned was a lot of people didn't know what they didn't know. So you don't buy a house every day. So you don't know about credit. You don't know about just different things that go along with the mortgage process and buying a home. So that also got me fired up about community activism. And so then I transitioned into the private sector, worked for H&R Block in their corporate environment.
Okay.
And so we were more the community service arm. While we still had financial responsibilities, we were a part of the community service arm. And then that's how, once I transitioned from H&R Block corporate, how I landed here at MU Extension, because again, learned a lot about community and knew that that was the path that I wanted to take.
Wow. Oh, my goodness. You have so much more to you than what I have seen, Shitomi. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I'm just, you know, that's okay. You know, you see somebody and all you see is sometimes the surface level and MU Extension. That's has been my identity at MU Extension. But yeah, I guess. Well, just like you and probably everyone else, you got a lot of layers that you're peeling, right?
Absolutely. Well, what a wealth of knowledge. When I think about this topic here, we're really thinking about kind of inclusive leadership. And you've had an opportunity now to be a leader in, as you've said, multiple different kind of sectors of business. And so I feel like I have like this golden nugget right now for this interview. I can't thank you enough. So listeners, again, we're talking to Shitomi Luster Edward, a regional director here with MU Extension, Urban West, so the Kansas City kind of metropolitan area, a big area that you cover. So tell me a little bit your experience as kind of a leader in all of those different hats that you just shared with me. How did it really shape how you view leadership now?
It shaped me a lot. Oftentimes, so when my major is master's in business administration and my undergrad is in business administration and my doctorate is in educational leadership. But when I was getting my undergrad and graduate, business was very stoic.
Mm.
And so I always worked and went to school. I never went off and had the whole college experience. This just was not my path. I always worked. Mm-hmm. And so I say that out loud to say that what I was able to do was compare my practical experience of while I was working my 9-to-5, while I was taking my night schools, to the application of what I was learning in school. And so I was able to compare it and learned quickly that while what you learn in school is very applicable and you have to gain that knowledge, that when you put it in practical measures, it's a little harder, right? Mm-hmm. So it's one thing talking about servant leadership and transformational leadership and Covey and, you know, all of this good stuff. You know, I got the books, right?
Right.
I got the books. But when you start applying that knowledge, you learn quickly that leadership is not just about being a leader, if you will, the person in charge.
Right.
Because you need all layers of the organization to be successful. And the people that you have surrounded around you, beside you, underneath you, on top of you, whatever, however you want to define it, is what defines that success. Mm. And so as far as what has defined me, I think all layers, because in my business life, I had to know the business from the bottom up. That is my way of going about things. I don't want people telling me about what I should be doing. Mm. I want to experience it myself. Mm-hmm. So as I told you in the janitorial business, when I first started, I started off cleaning the bathrooms. I started off cleaning, mopping the floors and understanding contracts and contract negotiation and the square footage and how to apply customer service and customer responses to all of that. That's all a part of leadership, because that's all a part of the different layers of your organization and what one should know about as a leader.
Right, right. And, you know, I think about just that wealth of knowledge. And I also think about really kind of the role that you've helped take on and kind of shape for MU Extension here as well in your leadership role, is really focused on kind of that inclusive leadership model, and really kind of teaching a lot of us here internally and externally kind of what that looks like. And so I guess, can you share with me a little bit about like your definition of inclusive leadership, and why is it crucial for the success of teams?
Yeah. So inclusive leadership has many layers, because you have the structural piece of inclusive leadership. Mm. So that is your HR, that is your marketing. And when I say HR, that's, you know, making sure that you're intentional on hiring people that don't always look and talk and think like you. And then what does that structure look like? And then how do you market? Are you marketing to different organizations that are not really the culture of which you're used to and which you live? And then marketing from the standpoint of, what are you doing? How does your marketing pieces look like? How are you presenting yourself to the general public? So that's one side of inclusive leadership. And then you have the other side of inclusivity, and that is bringing voices to the table that are not normally at the table. Mm-hmm. And I think if there's anything as a leader that could be the fall of your demise, is a sense of entitlement. Mm. And having that sense of entitlement, as you do nothing wrong, or you know everything, perhaps, or even if you don't know, you're not asking questions to others. And so when you're bringing different voices at the table, you're bringing different perspectives. And those voices can be many walks of life, ability versus disability. You know, most of the time when people think of inclusivity, the default sometimes is always ethnicity, color, right? Mm. But it is that. I don't want to downplay that, but it is also and. Mm-hmm. And so making sure that you have those voices at the table. And then once you have the voices at the table, those voices are actually heard. You are doing something with that, or you're processing it. You're applying it in some way. Don't just bring voices to the table to say that you're bringing full voices to the table. You actually have to do something with it. So it's very similar, if I may give you all a shout out, to some of the podcasts that I was listening to as of late. And it's very similar to becoming curious, the EQ that you all were talking about so eloquently. And, you know, just really, really understanding those principles, those same principles apply that you would think of other models that you're incorporating into an organizational structure. Same thing with inclusive leadership.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sitting here thinking as we're considering that big core concept of curiosity. And I know we do talk about that a lot on several of our episodes, because it's such a critical component of a great leader, curiosity about self, right? So having that level of self-awareness, but certainly curiosity and leaning into other points of view and other ideas. And I have to wonder sometimes, because when we think about the traditional ladder to leadership, we'll just put it that way, you know, there tends to be like maybe there's a time frame that you've been within an organization, and then you're moving your way up into that space. And I have to wonder how you've been successful at, we're hypothetically saying there's a leader who's been successful with their ideas, their initiatives, they continue to kind of move forward and move up the rungs. And then you get to a point where does confirmation bias ever come into play here where it's like, well, I was certain in these ideas. And so I'm sure that I can move into the next rung because I have these ideas, which would limit curiosity then. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Confirmation bias. I like that. It does limit curiosity. It limits, because to me, what that also runs parallel to is what I mentioned is that sense of entitlement, because then you're coming in with this preconceived notion that this is the way that it should be.
Right.
So one thing when you are, you know, traveling in these different spaces as a leader, and by the way, and I believe you've said this many occasions, you know, leadership is not defined by a position.
Agreed. Absolutely.
And so when you're moving in these different spaces, you're moving to a different environment, in turn, moving into a different culture, in turn, moving into a different ideation, and you're also moving into a different process. One thing that one would want to always consider is while you're moving into something you think you're ready for, you still have never been a part of that position.
What a great point.
And while you might have been a part of a similar position with a different organization, you still have not been in that position with that particular organization.
Right.
Unless you're doing some type of 360, and then that's the anomaly, though, right? But really, and the reason why I went through that cycle is because in every position, I strongly believe that while you're learning the different layers, there is there's a sense of where you take a step back and actively listen. And actively listening and active engagement would hopefully pique the curiosity and will not have you pigeonholed in that sense of bias.
Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, one of the things I learned a long time ago in a really great course, I think when I was with the city, was this concept of like when you are actively listening, a lot of people think that that just means engagement of ears. But realistically, I mean, there are multiple functions at play that have to be there. So it actually, they used the symbol, the Chinese symbol for listen. If you're not familiar with it, it actually has several different symbols in it, and it makes up the eyes, the ears, the heart, and the mind. Like, and that's what makes up the symbol for listening, because it takes all of those elements to truly be engaged and to be curious. You got to, especially the heart piece. I emphasize that a lot, because if you're not there for the right motivations or your right intentions, then it doesn't matter what the other person's saying. You're never actually going to be open to it. So the heart is a big space there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the heart is a big space. And the heart is a big space from many different aspects. Most of the time when you're in a leadership role, that means that you have some followers, some type of way, right? Mm-hmm. Or some type of direct reports. And when you're dealing with people, you're dealing with heart. No matter how much you try to cut it off, it's near to impossible to not actively listen with all of those senses just talked about. And that's interesting. Now you piqued my interest on what that symbol looks like. I want to see it. I'm going to take you up on that.
Okay, please do. And I don't take credit for it. If it's not right, I'm going to go blame the training I went to. So
come on, you're not fluent in Mandarin or anything like that.
No, nice. But I guess I could run it through AI and see what it would tell me. So my translator. Yeah.
That active engagement, that active listening, I think is key. And from all aspects, because you're working with everyone has a different walk of life.
Yeah.
And understanding that, being empathetic, sympathetic, and strategic, right? Because you can't always lean in all the time with full heart. But understanding all of that in its totality goes a long way.
We are going to pick this back up in a part two next week. So be sure to tune back in for some more great nuggets from our friend Shitomi. We'll see you back here.
And that's a wrap, folks. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of The Weekly Workplace. We hope you've been inspired, equipped, and ready to tackle whatever challenges come your way. But before you go, remember, the journey to success never stops. Keep grinding, keep growing, and keep striving for greatness. And hey, if you want to stay ahead of the game and never miss an episode, make sure you hit that subscribe button and turn on notifications. Don't forget to leave a comment and let us know what you thought of today's show. Your feedback fuels our fire. Also, show us some love by liking and sharing this podcast with your friends, colleagues, and fellow go-getters. Together, let's spread the knowledge and empower more professionals to reach their full potential. For even more tools and resources to elevate your career, check out the Missouri Training Institute. So until next time, keep hustling, keep learning, and keep dominating the workplace.